All right, to Jared's point, without naming a member of the Washington Wizards, because that makes it too easy, which NBA player is most likely to be a furry?
There's got to be
Robin Lopez.
Yeah, no, though, that's fair.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Love each and every one of them.
We do. Welcome back, everyone, to Full Court Mess. It's been a little bit of time off. Not much has changed. The Warriors are the best team in the league. AD is hurt. Everything's as it should be.
The Morris brothers are ready.
Nothing
to
else. The Morris
rip,
brothers
rip
actually,
heads off.
Actually, that's a big change. The Morris brothers have fans now.
But
that's
in no
crazy.
Change, Jimmy Butler is still pretending like he's going to start fights that he absolutely will not.
That's also true. We're back. It's me, Jared, Joe, and Will. Guys, what have you missed?
I mean, it was an awful year to take off the podcast because my beautiful boys, the Milwaukee Bucks, won the championship, and we didn't get to talk about it. So I'm decked out in my Bucks gear on the stream. And for the audio-only fans, keep that in mind. It was a beautiful run. It really was. And that's all we'll ever talk about it.
Yeah, kind of in the same spot for me. The Wizards got the 8 seed last year, which makes it our best season in years. Roughly more impressive than the Bucks winning the title for the Wizards to get the 8 seed, make the playoffs. One game against Philadelphia 76ers. And you saw what happened to them over the offseason. So you could say it kind of tanked their future and their chemistry, losing that one game to the Wizards. But well, otherwise, I was just...
That's a take.
Boycotting the pod so we didn't have to talk about Joe's Bucks winning the title.
Did your love for Russell Westbrook wane at all during his year on the Wizards?
All right, so I graduated him from my son's team this year. It's not the same as Beal, who was just removed. I would not say I love Russ any less. I would say that I'm just utterly exhausted just having to argue about him all year. I wasn't even doing a lot of the arguing, just witnessing Wizards fans being furious or extremely in favor of Russ all year was exhausting. And I was kind of like, I was fully in support of the trade where he left because frankly, it made us a much better team. I don't regret having him, and I don't love him any less, but I definitely was worn out, and I'm not going to miss, Wizards fans spend every game still taking shots at Russell Westbrook because they're still so mad about last year, so I'm not going to miss that.
Do Wizards fans blame him for, the team, underperforming, or what is the consensus?
I guess, we know what Russ is at this point. He's not the player he used to be.
He's an MVP every year.
He wildly varies between actually huge negative and game-changing positive player, and skews a bit more to the negative at this point. It's hard to look at last season's Wizards and claim they should have been something a lot more than they were. Unless you believed Russell Westbrook was still legitimately an MVP level player, which if you believed that, you're much more of a nutso fan than I am.
And even when he was, the Thunder were up 4 seed at best in the West. If he was.
Yeah.
What was the possible end game? Best case scenario.
Yeah, there were, I don't know anyone who could have had you probably like the expectations that you're unhappy the Wizards didn't meet last year, like you wish they'd just like generally been more competent, but with the roster they had, it's not like you really see them doing anything.
Yeah.
So that Lakers trade though, that's bad, right?
That's
it's good for Wizards. It's good for Wizards, but like
getting rid of Caldwell Pope and Caruso look like legit horrible moves for the Lakers.
I think the Caruso move's the worst though.
Yeah. Especially today when it was reported that he wanted to come back and was willing to take a pay cut.
Well, it was like they offered him $15 million 2 years.
Yeah.
Well, he was on JJ Redick's podcast and Redick said, blink once if it's under what I'm going to say and blink twice if it's over what I'm going to say. 2 years, $15 million. And Caruso went right into the camera, like one blink and just stared. And Redick just started laughing. But yeah, it was less than 2 years, $15 million is what they offered him. And he was willing to come back, but not for that price. So good for him. And he's killing it in Chicago so far. And the Bulls are looking really solid. I don't know if they're a real contender. We'll see, but they're a playoff team for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, like earlier on with the Lakers, he was kind of a meme for a while, but like, he's made a name for himself. I think with the Bulls, he's going to actually make more of a name for himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's just one of the guys you like to have on your team is a winning basketball player. He's plays defense and he's in the right spots at the right times. And that's something the Lakers are very short on.
And just based on his attitude about, I'll come back for a pay cut. I'll be in whatever role you want. Like, he wants to win and he'll if he's the... If he's starting or if he's, you know, the fourth or fifth guy off the bench or something, he's cool with it. You know, he's one of those guys. Yeah.
And I think the rush trade for the Lakers is even worse when you look at the reports that they could have traded much less for Buddy Hield. And then, you know, like kept Caldwell Pope, kept Caruso, added like Buddy Hield.
Really good depth by just keeping like.
But LeBron wanted his buddy, like. That probably is what it came down to.
You gotta assume so.
It is the LeBron probably and like Melo and Russ and all these like older guys in the NBA wise, like they probably want to like prove you wrong. Like, no, we're still good. We're still a contender. And I'll believe it when I see it because right now they seem like Melo's playing well, it seems like.
Melo's actually doing the other guys really doing well. Much. He's looking good.
Yeah, Melo's like the best bench shooter in the league, which again, like they always try to, that always tries to get thrown back in people's faces. Like, he was out of the league and he's still this good. It's like, he was out of the league because he refused to play off the bench.
Yeah. Like, he was out of the league. Like, that was on his own decision. Like,
yeah, it's a personal decision.
He's slower than he used to be. He doesn't really play defense a whole lot. Like,
no.
I mean, Jabari Parker's out of the league for the same reasons.
Yeah.
Jabari Parker can't shoot. So,
hey, that's integral member of the Boston Celtics, Jabari Parker, to you.
Okay. Enough real shit. who's beating or losing to Jokic in a fight?
No one is beating him.
You got to give me somebody to beat him. I'm looking for like a Nurkic or like larger type.
I think the only people beating him are his brothers.
And that's because they established that dominance from a young age.
Yeah. It's just an older brother thing. It's not, it's a psychological thing.
That's true. Let's walk it back then. Well, this is 2 days ago now, that fight, scuffle.
Yes.
It's not a fight. It's not a fight.
I'm giving in.
I gave in to people calling it. It's not a fight. It's which Morris was it? Which one plays for the Heat?
Markeith plays for the Heat.
People can't get mad
Morris
at me.
Doesn't play at all. He's on a team, but he doesn't play.
People can't get mad at me for getting mixed up when they are identical twins.
And they have the same tattoos.
With identical tattoos.
People I don't forget know if they this. Still do, but shared a bank account for like the first half their NBA career, at least.
Yeah, Yeah, that's like
they are legit man, the brothers, the twins from a backyard baseball where they get more powerful if they're on the same team.
Check this out. They also share the first three letters of their first names.
I don't know if anyone's that's noticed huge. This, but they have the same last name.
I want them both on the same team. They've been on the same team before, right?
The Suns. Yeah, they
were the Suns. And then yeah. The Suns traded one away. That didn't work out.
Yeah, that was baffling, honestly.
And then they were so mad, too.
Yeah. Oh, man. I want.
They were like, you promised us.
They I really want worse. Them. I want them to have, like, the first four letters of each of their first name and their last name on their jerseys. Like, I want that.
If they ever end up back on the same team, they should get an executive decision from the league that just allows them to put their first names on their jerseys alone.
Just well, no, because one of them has senior on his jersey now.
Oh yeah, you're right.
That was a different.
So we don't get him confused with his child that broke his balls.
Oh yeah.
Which is like
that really
the greatest injury in the league.
I mean, that's how
my
you know
giant
that.
Child stepped on my balls.
That's how you know that kid is a Morris through and through, man.
That's true.
He, I mean, that's he got that straight from his dad and uncle.
That's true. Okay, so Morris pushes. What would you call that? A push? A deck?
It was a take foul, as they call it. It was
a flagrant too. They called it a flagrant too.
In the open court, it was a hard foul.
It's a hard. I
would be willing to call it like a hard, dangerous foul in the open court.
And the Nuggets were up by 20 with 2.5 mm-hmm. minutes left. Like the game was over. Jokic probably shouldn't have even been in anymore. First of all,
that's true.
But like the game was over. I guess I don't know the full context of leading up to that. Like Jokic looked like he was putting up a shot from like three quarter court.
Yeah, before like he was going up.
I don't know. Like yeah. He was trying to get a shooting foul. Was that like he kind of saw it coming and tried? I don't even know. But that's what it looked like.
Okay,
yeah,
so
he kind of sideswiped
Morris, him. Morris hits him from like the side, kind of. It's a flagrant two. But before they even call that, he hits him. He turns around and then gets decked.
Yeah, Morris kind of walks away from Jokic after doing what he did, mm-hmm. seemingly knowing, like, yeah, that wasn't the coolest foul in the world. I'm going to distance myself here real quick. Whether that was the conscious thought or not, like, that's what it looked right. like.
Right. And then everyone got mad at Jokic.
Yes.
Like, on Twitter. Like,
people were furious.
People were like, but Pat Bev did the same thing. First off, no, he did not, because Chris Paul did not hit Pat Bev. That was like the biggest comparison I saw a lot of people.
I thought Pat Bev pushing
Chris Paul, and I was like, Chris Paul looked at him funny.
Yeah, I thought of Pat Bev with Markieff's hit, like Pat Bev hitting Russ low and mm-hmm. ending his season. Like that's what I thought of when I saw what Markieff like. It wasn't quite as dangerous as that, I wouldn't say. He didn't dive at his knee. But in the slow-mo, I think Richard Jefferson tweeted out like a TikTok of him kind of talking over it, and you can see the slow-mo replays of all the things.
Yeah.
And he get like, Markieff hits Jokic on the knee. Probably not on purpose, but like their knees basically collide. Like mm-hmm. from the side for Jokic. And that's probably what he reacted to is like, or like he kind of got an elbow in the ribs a little bit. It probably hurt a little bit. Like Jokic is a big boy, obviously, and probably wasn't injured, but was probably like, hey man, not cool. That was his whole reaction. So I would be upset also.
I definitely get being upset. Like, in addition to all of that, basically all of what happened to Jokic was while he was in midair, which is a very dangerous place for a very large man to be, and to be getting hit in the leg, to be getting hit in the knee. Obviously, none of to me, like the outcome that happened was the correct outcome. They both got kicked out. Jokic gets suspended a game. Like,
think if Markieff the Heat players really wanted 50 grand too.
If the Heat players really had that big a problem with it, they all had their chance to come say something to him right when it happened, and they all declined.
Yeah.
Yep.
He definitely, it did look funny the way Jokic was running at him, because it did look like when that big kid in elementary school gets mad. And he's just kind of like rumbling and out of control. It was cheap and dirty, but like, yeah, not in a way that I like care about long term.
And not in a way that's like totally, we've never seen this kind of violence in an NBA game before. Like,
that's the thing too. People made such a big deal. Like, this happens every year. This isn't a big deal.
You know what it made me think of? This is a bit of a throwback, but do y'all remember Giannis just absolutely body checking Mike Dunleavy
in the middle
of a shot, like in the playoffs?
Someone tweeted that out right after it happened too. Yeah, I saw that pop up a couple times, and that
nobody
was
cares
like
about a... that. Nobody cares about that at all. Like, you know,
Dunleavy, it was Mike Dunleavy.
I mean, if we're gonna compare,
it doesn't mean Giannis should be doing that. That was dangerous, but like nobody cares.
That was sort of chalked up to Giannis being 20 years old and like he doesn't know how this league works or something. Like that's what it seemed like at the time. I remember it. I was like, holy cow, he just like literally like rugby tackled him midair. Like
that's what it looked like. I mean, it was on the level of like him doing that or Kelly Oubre clotheslining Kelly Olynyk because he got mad in the playoffs or something like that. Like, just like, yo, all of these other ones we just laughed about.
Yeah. Like, one game suspension, totally fair. Jokic apologized a bunch of times. He was like, yeah, that was stupid. I was upset. I shouldn't have done it. I didn't mean to hurt him. I hope he's okay. Like, he said all that right afterwards.
And but he's then gonna... his brothers.
Yeah, okay.
His brothers make a Twitter account.
And basically threaten Morris, which is
not how they're going to find this.
They were threatening Marcus Morris. because Marcus had tweeted he waited till his back was turned, like, I see how it is, something like that.
Yeah.
And
waited till bro turned his back, SMH, noted.
Yeah.
But
took that as a threat.
He did that same thing like a few years ago though.
Yeah.
He waited till Boogie was helping up a teammate and pushed him in the back.
I mean, and again, like, anything you want to say, this is where I come back to what Shaq and Chuck were talking about with it. This is not a scenario where I think Jokic was in any sort of right or anything like that. But I don't really care that much about the he hit him in the back when he immediately turned his back. Like, don't do something dirty to me and turn your back instantly. That's like it's kind of a parallel to the Carmelo's, like, he kept himself out of the league. Like, you made that a hit in your own back because you presented your back and nothing else.
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah, don't act like you punched him with your back.
Yeah.
But you can't do that.
Remember when the Suns beat the Nuggets in the playoffs and Jokic basically, like, punched campaign, like, in game six, in the elimination game?
Yeah, and Joe, you shared this earlier, and I think it was a good point from, I believe it was from Ziller. Jokic is, like, kind of like this overall. Like, it's not like, this isn't a one-time thing for him.
No, yeah, it says, here, I've actually got the article up right here. There's one paragraph that I think works. He said, this is Tom Ziller, Good Morning, It's Basketball, his newsletter. There's one of them that's free every week, or you can subscribe and pay. He's really great if you care about this stuff. Jokic's nasty streak flies under the radar because Jokic is seen as a lovable goof, an idiosyncratic misfit toy that exists outside the normal paradigm of even modern NBA superstars. But between the campaign strike and the Morris shove, there's no denying that the reigning MVP has hothead tendencies. It's going to start impacting his persona if it hasn't already. For some, this will make them like Jokic more. See the cult of Jokic's brothers. But surely it sets a bad example for the impressionable young males watching the team. It also talks about, he says, I hope Markieff Morris is okay, and I also hope Markieff Morris stops doing this garbage. The Morris twins have well-earned reputations that reflect poorly on them and overshadow the fact that they have had really solid NBA careers. How differently would we look at the Morai if each of them hadn't ticked off a dozen fan bases each with plays similar to this.
Yeah.
I think that's all spot on.
Yeah, they have their own shit.
Like if it was, I don't know, was a player on, like if it was like Bam Adebayo that he shoved to the ground or something, this would be a little more, I don't know if it's more concerning, or it would just be like, I'd be like, well, he didn't mean to cheap shot Jokic. I don't know. Yeah. Like, and it was Markieff Morris, as like, he knew what he was doing. Like, that's my first. Yeah. Like, and that's just from his history of doing it to other guys. So, yeah. Anyway.
Y'all, I quick interruption with breaking news.
Okay.
Kyle Kuzma has led a late game comeback and sunk a game winner to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers in the final seconds.
Wow. Your
Washington Wizards are 8-3 and the first seed in the Eastern Conference.
Oh my gosh.
Incredible. What kind of shot are we talking here?
Corner three.
Wow.
He hit four threes in the fourth quarter and ended up 6 of 9 from three overall in the game.
Mm. Wow.
We love to see Kyle Kuzma thriving.
Absolutely.
We do.
He's kind of a cornball, but I'm glad he's on a team that.
That's.
Team and a fan base that hopefully will appreciate it.
Yeah, it's kind of the market the Wizards have cornered. It's interesting, the market inefficiency that they've tried to exploit is dudes who are just really corny and can kind of hoop, so they get slandered more than they like probably deserve. But like grabbing Spencer Dinwiddie, crypto freak, to run the point, starting Kyle Kuzma every game, like this is a team of really corny dudes who just go out there and I guess get underestimated night in and night out because they all have such terrible personalities.
What was it that Montrez said at the start of the season? Like, nobody's expecting anything of us.
Yeah,
so
nobody's
going to go out and ball. Like, something
like that.
Who
cares about us, man? We're the Wizards.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. It's true. It's so true. Yeah. Like, nobody has any expectations for us. So we're just going to go play. And, like, oh, I love it. I always loved Montrez.
I was looking at the power rankings after, like, the first week or two of the season, and the Wizards obviously have had a good start to the season. And so like most places had us like 20th, 22nd, before the season started. And we're so just such an anonymous team that after we started like whatever it was, 7-3 or something like that, we'd moved up in like a ton of power rankings up to like 19. And I was like, all right, well, like at some point, like we'll crash back down to earth, but at some point you actually got to like bump us up. Like we're playing better than most teams right now.
Yeah. I think you should be higher than 19.
Yeah, but I think that's starting to come. They'll come back down to earth, but this has been a fun ride. But that was just
How about Dinwiddie trying to do the sponsor patch? That was him, right?
Yeah, no, it was. He tried to sponsor the Wizards jerseys. He's
himself?
Yeah.
What?
It was for some crypto shit, right?
Yep, absolutely. If you want something low key concerning for the Wizards, he has not been good for the past few games at all. But when he's on, he has been a fun player, but he is as corny. The only reason he's not the corniest dude on the team is because Bradley Beal is on the team.
Yeah.
And, like, and Brad has taking the cake this year.
I like to think that Dinwiddie's performance like fluctuates with crypto. Like, we gotta check the market, man. Like,
yeah, like, no, that's so good. He's volatile, man.
Yeah,
the Dinwiddie bubble is bursting in Washington.
That's why the Nets got rid of him when the bubble crashed at the same time. All right, who else is doing good? Who else is doing bad? Let's check the standings.
Well, Jared, tell us what's obviously doing well, the Golden State Warriors, and we joke about, you know, nothing's changed. They were just in the finals when we were all last speaking and whatnot. But what happened? What, like, I haven't watched them. What's the difference? Why are they all of a sudden 9-1 this year and world killers? Is it just because Kelly Oubre isn't there anymore?
I think I mean, shot selection's been better, so yeah. And, like, I want to say it's because we drafted really well last year, but, like, Kuminga, a.k.a. Cumbucket, and Moody. Oh man, that is the greatest nickname, man. I cannot believe someone actually pulled that out.
You got two of the like most memeable rookies because of the cum bucket nickname, but then also you had Kendrick Perkins failing to pronounce Moses Moody's name about 40 times on draft night, just consecutively. Yeah. He could not say Moses Moody. He was saying like Moosey, Mose, Moody, Mose, and eventually another analyst just like yelled it at him. He was like trapped. He could not get it. And sound clip is hilarious.
It gets the best of us. The cum bucket thing is so great just because like that was said on live television. Like in a preseason game, I think. Preseason or summer league. Like
there should be. That's a good point. On preseason and summer league basketball games, there should be no like FCC rules at all. If you watch that, you deserve to hear whatever it is you hear.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything goes.
Yeah. Wow, that I just can't believe someone said that. And it caught on so fast. It would.
Once it gets said once, it's over.
I want to say it's because we drafted them, but like they haven't really played that much at all. But Jordan Poole is like a fucking killer now.
Mm-hmm.
And like I think people expected like eventually he'd come up and like be pretty good, but he's like what are his stats right now? He is like on a decent run. Let me get his.
Yeah, he seems like one of those dudes who like wants the moment. He's like, they're like, hey, we need way more than you're ready to do right now. And he's just like, hell yeah.
He's averaging 18 points a game right now.
Yeah, it's unreal. I mean, this guy was picked like what, like 40th?
He's pretty late pick, yeah. Let me
definitely a second round. Like,
no, 28.
Oh, 28,
yeah.
My bad.
Yeah, 28.
Redact that.
Redacted.
He's already had the last game he had 16, that's okay, but these three games before 25, 26, and 31.
Sheesh.
On points, those three games. Like he's against New Orleans, and I know it's New Orleans, so it doesn't really count, but 66% field goal percentage. His 31-point game, 52. 25-point game, 53. He's letting it fly.
That's like, you could do a decent amount of explaining with that. If like I walked in before you even got to how Steph Curry's like the MVP front runner early on. Mm-hmm. If I walked in and said, why are the Warriors good? And you told me because Jordan Peele has been better than Bradley Beal this season. I'd be like, oh, yeah, that kind of checks out.
Didn't know Jordan Peele, the director of Get Out, was on the Warriors. Got him.
I think it's a combination of things. I think like Curry's feeling really good. I think Draymond's feeling good. Andre's back, which is great. Has he done too much? He's done a little bit, but he teaches the guys.
Otto
Porter has been really good. Otto Porter's been good. Also, they keep playing him at center, which is really weird to me. But like that's Warriors small ball now, because like
Otto Porter at center.
Yeah, they keep putting him at center. They put the bench rotation in, it's just like everyone's small. But I mean, also it's probably also because we have like one true center in Kevon Looney.
Mm-hmm.
And then like
and he's not even like just... he's not even that big for a center either.
He's
fine.
He's 6'9".
Yeah.
But like our other Weisman's bigs are, out,
so
yeah, the other bigs are Bielitsa and Draymond.
How long until Wiseman's back?
I don't remember. I don't think it's not. Let's see. 3 days ago, NBC Sports reports he is expected to progress on 3-on-3 work in this coming week. So he'll be back before Clay.
A little fun fact for those of you who have not had Otto Porter on your team before. This is fairly well known amongst the hardcores in DC. I don't know how well known it is elsewhere. Probably the most underrated mega party guy in the NBA. Flies completely under the radar. Everybody assumes because he doesn't have like any social media. He's not out here. The guy is nuts. He is as big a partier as you'll find in the league.
I wouldn't have expected that at all.
You want it, which is why he got busted during COVID for breaking protocol. but no, okay. He is Otto Porter is out here. Don't let the no social media fool you.
I mean, that's galaxy brain behavior for being a party guy is not having any social media about it. Honestly,
he's flying under the radar.
Yeah.
A good way to do it.
Honestly, I think to answer the Warriors question, I think it's just the depth is really good this year. I don't think it was good the last 2 years. And like they just have the system of guys that like, because Otto Porter Jr., this is really his chance to be like, look, I'm still good.
Yeah.
And then they're just doing that thing where like, let's get some guys who've been struggling and give them Gary Payton the second is like a killer.
Baby glove.
He had a little bit of time on the Bucks. He's bounced around throughout the
team. He's bounced around
a bunch of teams.
Yeah,
I liked him. I always liked him.
Yeah, he's been in and out of the G League, but they're calling him Young Glove here, and he's been good. 6 points a game, about, but like he just hustles.
Mm-hmm.
Also, great news though.
Like somebody with the name Gary Payton to do.
yeah. One thing that has continued over the last few years, I think it is the biggest piece of consistency the Warriors have kept, is Damian Lee still misses about one layup a game. So
that's an integral part of the team. The team is built on that.
Oh yeah,
I asked you at some point throughout the season, like, would Damian Lee play any minutes on any other team in the league? And you were like, no. And he gets like 20 plus every game for the Warriors.
Yeah. Something nice though, he is actually shooting 44% from three this season.
You know, you'll let him miss a layup to get that 44%.
I will. I'll miss a few layups, but make it back. His three shooting has been pretty solid actually. So
we also should maybe not overlook the positive effects of Moses Moody on the team just through his incredible quote game, where he dropped the banger, if you give a pig a pancake, then he wants some syrup, referring to himself now wanting to be an NBA All-Star.
Yes. Incredible.
I love him. I'm so like upset he went the pick before the Wizards in the draft. I was dying for him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, based on how we're all evaluating our own teams, it's going to be Bucks Wizards in the Eastern Conference Finals, and they're playing the Warriors in the finals.
I can't wait for the Bucks versus the Wizards versus the Warriors in the first ever three-team finals. I think it's going to be plus
how
whatever
does
team.
How does those there? Three teams in the playoffs? That's the play-in. Is
and then whoever our guest is, maybe their team will be there too. I mean, that'll just be phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah, Warriors on a good run. I don't think they're going to stay at this pace because the schedule's been relatively easy outside of
they're not going to have a 900 winning percentage at the end of the year.
No. Because, I mean, they, outside of playing like both LA teams back to back and losing to Memphis, the schedule's been pretty easy. Like, yeah, the toughest teams have been like LA, Memphis, and probably Atlanta. So, and the Atlanta game was close for a little while until Curry decided he's going to put up 50. So,
that always helps.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think like a ton of that, like you said, that depth there just gives Curry more freedom to do what he does, be a little less tired. That's not the word I was looking for, but I couldn't remember what I wanted. But have less bit of you get a little load off his shoulders, and then you get to see those 50-point 10 assist games.
I mean, tired works too. Yeah. Like, you know, not being tired, because that's those previous like really good seasons. He'd only play like up to the like get through the third, and then he wouldn't play in the fourth.
Yeah, and a ton of the big point about Steph is always that he's like he's the best ever like off ball superstar. Like, not that he's not great with the ball, but like no superstar has ever been this incredible off ball. And you know, to make that work, you actually have to have other guys who can handle the ball so he can be off ball.
Yeah. And so, yeah. And I think he's only gotten better at off ball.
Yeah,
we got a lot of guys who can handle the ball now. But then Clay's still gone. When Clay's back, you got two incredible off ball guys.
Yeah. Really looking forward to
Hamilton erasure I'm hearing on this podcast. I cannot believe it.
Oh,
as far as off ball superstar. It rip Hamilton with his face mask on the court. That's one of my first memories of NBA basketball was those Pistons teams with him like literally just running circles around the court, tiring out his defender till he got an open shot.
Rip was my first favorite NBA player, man. Just it's such a clear memory of 2004 too, because all those off ball shots he was hitting, all those catch and shoots were mid rangers.
Yep, never a three. Ever.
The catch and shoot mid range legend.
Three pointers were Billups and Tayshaun Prince's territory. But mostly they just like smothered. They'd win games like 67 to 62.
There was nothing cooler than the 04 Pistons with Ben Wallace switching between the Fro and the Braids for home and away games, and Rip Hamilton with a face mask.
He's my favorite player ever still to this day. And he's a Hall of Famer now.
You better believe it. Antonio McGeist went off the bench. I mean, that was just such a cool team.
It was.
All right, so I've got a bit of bad news for you guys regarding the season thus far. Are you ready for this? The Mavericks are 7-3.
That has been upsetting.
They are currently third in the West.
And it sounds like every time people watch them, like, it's not even, like, fun. Like, you watch them going like Jason Kidd is ruining this, and then they just still win.
Yeah, it's like, cause I've watched a few, because a few of these have been televised. So I'll tune in, because I do like watching Luka, and I do like watching you know, the few minutes a game that Boban plays. It's all Luka. He leads the team in points, rebounds, assists.
I've been doing my absolute best to ignore the fact that they're winning games, because I still won't, but I will not give Jason Kidd any credit. And I don't think I have reason to yet. I'll just give it to Luka, but I'm not happy about it.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Mavericks, I've got a tweet here from Bleacher Report about a week ago. It says, the one move still haunting every NBA franchise from the last 5 years. They have a full list of one for every team, but the four that they chose to highlight in this tweet are the Grizzlies signing Chandler Parsons, the Lakers' entire summer of 2016, and in the photo is a picture of Luol Deng stretching, the Knicks signing Joakim Noah, and the Mavericks trading for Kristaps Porzingis.
Oh, man.
Like, he's still on the team.
Yeah.
like
he's still supposed to be their second best player.
Yeah.
Like, I just think it's funny that they, like, highlighted that one. I'm sure it was for the engagement, as they say. But
are they wrong for it?
It's very funny.
Are they wrong for it?
I don't know.
I don't think they're wrong.
Mavs will regret more.
Who did they give up for him? I forgot.
Tim Hardaway Jr.
Couple of picks.
Couple of picks. Maybe someone else too. That guy got, Tim Hardaway Jr. got a huge contract this offseason.
Where is he now?
Is he still on the Knicks? Or is he somewhere else?
No.
He's Dallas.
I thought he was on the Mavericks.
He is on the Mavericks.
Maybe he came with Porzingis?
He came with Kristaps. Yeah. So what was the trade?
Oh, man.
I guess I can
look you up. Figure out the trade. Saw something interesting the other day. Very, very pod relevant. A large group of people who, you know, the Mavericks, for Luka especially, not the most, like, you're not watching them the most at any team. He's not been on the most watchable teams ever. A large group of people have just this season started realizing that Tim Hardaway Jr. is hot.
Mm. You know, I see it.
It's a shame.
I feel bad for them, the amount of his career that they've missed that they could have been enjoying. But, I mean, it's a good-looking man.
NBC Sports reported this September that Kristaps wanted to be traded by the Mavericks.
Oh my goodness. But the Knicks got Dennis Smith Jr., DeAndre Jordan, Wesley Matthews, and 2 first round picks. So if you're upset about anything, you just got to be upset about those picks.
Yeah.
And Kristaps' contract.
Dennis Smith, man, that.
Dennis Smith is on the Blazers now, and he barely made the roster. Like, he was the last roster spot.
Dennis Smith never claimed his God-given talent was playing basketball. He said his God-given talent was slinging that wood in his pants.
That's true. He did tweet that.
A classic.
People forget.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't... he did not... There's no false advertising on his part. Assuming...
That trade is just bad for everyone.
Yeah, who did the Knicks... Not that it really matters that much, but who did the Knicks get with those picks?
Kevin Knox?
Oh, wow, man. This is just a real stinker all the way around.
I think, I think this proves that you, like...
Maybe. Don't quote me.
You can. We got it.
I'm going to guess Smith Kevin Jr. Kevin
we got,
Knox
we got
and...
Dennis Smith Jr. fans in the chat.
All right, DHJ. DHJ, why did I say that? DSJ.
You're thinking of Tim Hardaway Jr. and Dennis Smith Jr.
DHJ. Who would DHJ even be?
Yeah. DHJ is Tim Hardaway Jr., so you must have mixed
Taylor, him. Taylor Horton Jr. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm ready to talk about this tweet I've been staring at that Will shared in our chat group.
Okay.
To get ahead of this now that he might be available, no, the Raptors should not trade Siakam, Fred, or OG for Jaylen Brown.
And who tweeted that? Just
a very much a Siakam stan Raptors fan.
Yeah,
I think one of my favorite things on like basketball Twitter is fans being like, we're not trading. Okay.
And this all stemmed this all stemmed from the report that the Celtics were like kicking the tires on trading for Ben Simmons. They didn't say they were trading Jaylen Brown for him or anything. They just said we're like the report was they're looking into the Ben Simmons availability and that was it. And then Twitter just like ran with it with like, well, it's for Jaylen Brown, obviously, because who else would it be? That's an overpay, in my opinion.
I love the Raptors shouldn't do this. In what world are the Celtics doing that? Taking their best player so far this year and shipping him off for Fred VanVleet?
Yeah.
I love Fred. I've loved him since he was in college. He's 2 years older than Jaylen, and he's not as good.
And his name's Fred. That just means he's old.
Yeah. That's like negative. My brother made a good point about Celtics and Simmons. He was like, imagine being Simmons and like you want out of that area. You don't want to play in Philly. So you get shipped to fucking New England.
We have to give Bill Simmons the opportunity to have a Simmons Celtics jersey. That just has to be something. The Ringer network would just implode at that opportunity.
The other best part is it's always good. I saw somebody say the other day, and they're 100% right. It's always good when a fan base has their team trades for a player they hate. It was so funny watching Rockets fans get Westbrook after they despised him so much all those years, and they don't change. They just hate them while they're on their team.
Yeah,
but that's always funny.
People can change. I said it before we were live, and I'm gonna say it now. My opinion has gone from way down here to slightly higher than way down here on Grayson Allen since he's joined the Bucks. That boy can shoot.
I made the announcement in the chat, but now everyone can know. As soon as they got him, I said Bucks are the enemy now.
Yeah.
Last year, I was able to enjoy the Bucks. It was pretty fun. Like, I got friends that like the Bucks. I watch the Bucks. I support. Not anymore. I cannot support this move. I don't care how well he's playing either.
Joe, you may defend him, but I've gotten reports from my sources all over the league that Grayson Allen is going out on Saturday nights with slick back hair. He lives for New Year's Eve. He's having sloppy steaks at Giovanni's. I just don't know how you can say this guy's not a huge piece of shit.
We've already got one of those guys in this state, and he's the quarterback of the football team. And that's reality. We don't need to be fabricating a second one. Don't worry.
Let's also remember that he did take a picture with Ted Cruz. And also that they look alike.
Joe is frozen in pain here.
Yeah.
Am I back now?
No, yeah, no, you were there. You
look stunned.
You guys were frozen in pain. Gotcha.
Yeah, Bucks are the enemy now.
Let's talk about an enemy you've made, Jared. Tyrese Halliburton of your geographically nearby Sacramento Kings.
I was working on
wearing an NFT on his shoes on the court.
Yeah, yeah. I was working on my Olsen's team, and I was like, you know, I like Halliburton, and then I was like putting it together, and then I got sent the tweet of that, and I was like, oh, he's banned. He's banned from my Olsen's team.
What's the best piece of NFT news so far of this basketball season? Because I think it's when they said that maybe Ben Simmons' relationship was mending with the Sixers because he changed his avi on Twitter to an NFT, just like Maury and Tobias Harris.
Yeah. And that's like, well, they're friends now because they're all weird.
And then he proceeded to still not show up to practice for like the next 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. Man, the Halliburton shoes are bad.
I was just going to say, like, the idea in and of itself, like having unique shoes or whatever the thing is, but it's like a monkey with its tongue out wearing 3D glasses. Okay.
I think we have some basketball players in the league who are furries.
He was replying.
I think that's what this is.
The original tweet is Halliburton replying to Josh Hart saying, "That's Cap. My ape will be with me on the court tonight," with the eyes emoji. And then, the shoes are blue and pink with a pink monkey wearing a blue hat, sticking its tongue out and wearing 3D glasses.
Yeah, all right, to Jared's point, without naming a member of the Washington Wizards, because that makes it too easy, which NBA player is most likely to be a furry?
There's gotta be
Robin Lopez.
One.
yeah, no, that's fair.
Former member of the Washington Wizards, but member of several other teams too. But it's Robin Lopez.
Yeah, no.
1,000%.
That's correct.
I hate that. That's probably, that makes sense.
Follow up question.
Is there anyone else, though?
Know? And turn a blind eye, or is he totally aware?
He's aware.
Okay.
It's a twin thing. He's aware. They're both like big Disney comic book nerdy kind of guys.
Yeah.
I'm pretty, either Robin or I think it was Brooke, like, lives in Orlando because he could be close to Disney World. Like, that was the reason he gave for buying a place in Orlando, even though he's never played for the Magic or anything. But that was the, I'm pretty sure.
You don't love to hear
I'm trying to think if there would be anyone else, too. And it would probably be someone who, has one of those weird NFTs. I don't know, man. These
we NFTs will dwell on big. This.
Also, like putting an NFT on your shoe kind of like conflicts with the idea of NFTs, doesn't it?
Yeah, I thought about that some. I was like,
it's not, it's no longer digital.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can wear those shoes and you gotta throw them away.
Or like sell the shoes themselves. But that's not an NFT. That's a physical.
No, that's thing. Just selling a shoe. He's reverted back to normal shit.
Yeah. Yeah, so I was thinking about that. I was like, that's like no different than someone just like taking a screenshot of an NFT.
Yeah, it's no different. Yeah, it's that, or it's just like you just did art on your shoe, just like yesterday. Like, yeah, I don't.
We're going to catch it. It's the theme of the evolving world, especially with social media, is we're going to catch more and more L's on players we think we really like as we learn more about them.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. We lost Joe.
You can't blame him for being troubled by this nonsense.
He's back. He's loading.
I'm back. Hello?
There he is.
There he is.
Statement from Michael Jeffrey Jordan. I'm back.
Oh, man. My phone died. Sorry.
That's all good. You sent me this tweet from at buttermilka17 with the Knicks logo, so we know it's going to be good. I honestly feel like Obi Toppin going to be like Giannis and grow.
What a take to like predict that a player on your team is going to grow.
Yeah.
Not improve in any way, but just get taller.
And let's remember that Giannis is the only guy in the league to grow.
Ever.
No one else has.
Never. His growth spurt is just so like documented. Like it's referenced so often, like look how huge he got. That means like any scrawny, like Chet Holmgren's gonna be 300 pounds by the time he's in the league or whatever. Like,
yeah.
No, also, he's not.
Like, Giannis added like 50 pounds. If Obi Toppin adds 50 pounds, he's going to be Zion size.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You better hope he doesn't add that much weight. He's already 220 pounds.
Yeah, how much did Zion gain?
Oh, Lord.
I forgot.
Next week to promote this stream, I'll tweet out the picture of him in the Mountain Dew commercial playing video games.
I thought they said he got north of 300.
I thought so too. That's what I heard. And he was listed at like 270 last year. So that's
30
plus pounds.
October 20th from Clutch Points saying Zion's weight has ballooned north of ballooned. I do not use that word here. has gone north of 300 pounds thanks to the foot injury. When he joined the Pelicans, an observer reportedly said this. When he joined the Pelicans' recent preseason trip to Minnesota, several league personnel on hand were struck by his heavier appearance than his listed playing weight last season of 284. I know Zion at 280, and he was not 280, said one observer. These are the injuries you have to be most concerned about, a foot injury or a guy with noted weight issues, said an executive.
Yeah, no. Things have you seen his
deteriorating. Have you seen his Mountain Dew commercial?
Yeah.
When I saw that, I was like, he got a little bigger. He got a little bit bigger.
Or him at like
he did the dew all right.
Him at media day. You just look at him and you're like, this is Zion's always been a big dude, but he didn't look like this.
Yeah. And like, yeah. And it's not like you can be a big dude and play in the NBA, but he's going to lose some speed.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think he's the point. He just looks really out of shape right now.
Yeah, he just looks. Yeah.
But
it's like, did when he broke his foot, did he not like think like I should probably change how I do some things right now?
No, I'm guessing. And to be fair, I probably would have done the same thing now. I'm not in the NBA, and I have no natural talent on any level like that.
Like
But I can
Pelicans are not a good organization to like that. They're not like, all right, you're our, I don't know exactly how this went down, but like, they're like, you're our, you're the guy. We need to keep you in good shape. Like you've got a live in nutritionist now, man. Like,
yeah, no, I'm shocked. That hasn't happened.
Yeah. Like that's gotta be, I don't know how they handled it, but.
With it being the Pelicans, you can assume however they're handling it, it's incorrectly.
Mm-hmm. Looking for some other news right now.
Bobby Portis is the new president.
Bobby of the United States. I saw that. Check this out.
He tweeted out three Bobby Portis.
It's this Woj bomb. Three-time NBA All-Star Deron Williams is fighting longtime NFL running back Frank Gore in a four-round heavyweight bout on Showtime's pay-per-view undercard of Jake Paul versus Tommy Fury. Why?
We have did y'all see fire from God's light.
Wait, who was the one, who was the NBA vet who fought and spectacularly lost to Jake Paul?
Nate Robinson. NBA.
All right, Nate Robinson.
That.
Yeah, like, man. Got very knocked out.
Yeah, oh yeah. Like, that was a big L.
Now, importantly, did y'all see Woj and the replies to his own tweet absolutely wax Chris Mannix from Sports Illustrated?
Oh. No.
Chris Mannix replied to that tweet and said, "You have no idea who any of these people are." And Woj just, I mean, you know how Woj is. He fired back instantly and said, "Accurate, especially since I muted you on here."
Okay.
The man, I don't know why you'd play around trying to toss jokes around with Woj online. I would leave him be.
You got my fuck around.
And lives online.
Yeah.
He knows his way around.
Ever since the story of him at Yahoo arguing with the ESPN employees in the parking lot, I think we've all known this is not a man to lightly verbally spar with.
Mm-hmm. He can't. Woj looks like a guy who would send you an angry email.
I mean, we know the kind of email he sends, right?
Yeah. What did he say? It just said "fuck you," right?
Yeah, like "fuck you" or "fuck off" to that. Was it Josh Hawley?
That's fair, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean that was earned. That ruled.
Yeah, that did rule. It sucks that he had to apologize for it.
That does suck.
I'm sorry that you were offended by my email.
He managed to not be as lame as when Pete Davidson apologized to Dan Crenshaw.
Hmm.
So
it is lame.
Credit to him.
Yo, shouts out to the Kings getting destroyed by the Spurs right now.
Speaking of getting destroyed, the Thunder are up 20 on the Pelicans.
The Thunder are bad.
Pelicans season is over.
The Thunder are horrible, but as always, they've forgotten one thing in their tankathon, which is Shai Gilgeous-Alexander remains too good to 100% tank.
That's true.
He's just going to win. And Josh Giddey apparently already rules.
Yeah.
That's fun.
They're fun. They're fun.
I saw Shai's a clip averaging of him like an hour after the game was over. Someone was in the stands. And it was just him talking to like two or three girls after the game, like next to the court, like getting their numbers and stuff.
Oh man, that rules! Oh man, I'm just loving again that this Pistons Rockets game is on ESPN.
Jeremy Grant with 33 points.
The 1-for-8 Pistons versus the 1-for-9 Rockets.
America's game of the week.
And somehow it's lasting a really long time, too. Oh, okay, now I see it's finally ended. The Pistons win. What? How do we think Jalen Green, random but diehard Pistons hater, how do you think he's taking this one?
Diehard Pistons hater?
Yeah, Jalen Green has done one of the more fascinating like media campaigns over the past few months, where he said before the draft that he didn't want to go to Detroit. I mean, everybody knew Detroit was taking Cade. And I think he kind of to save some face, he said, "I don't want to go to Detroit. Detroit sucks. It's trash." And then after the draft,
there's nothing to do there.
Yeah. So like they got mad, but then after the draft, he said he wants to like punish the Pistons for not taking him. Which is kind of like you don't get to do both. Like pick one or the other.
You can pick one.
You can't like manufacture a chip on your shoulder.
You can't say you don't want to go there and be mad at them for not taking you.
Right.
Yeah, I think it's fine to be like, no, I don't want to be there and I don't want them to take me. I have nothing against that. But or to be like, dang, they should have taken me first. Man, you can't do both.
He was even trying to like walk around it like, I'm not saying that Detroit should have drafted me. I'm just saying I should have gone first overall.
Mm-hmm.
Stop it.
Yeah, he could have been like, well, the Pistons are taking Cade. They're making a big mistake and I'm going to make them pay. Like, that's how you phrase that, not Detroit sucks anyway.
Yeah.
And they should have taken me, even though I don't want to go there anyway.
Yeah, no,
you can't fire me. I quit.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's been. So I'm sure Detroit fans were happy to get that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cade seems like a pretty awesome dude, even if his basketball play has some consistency issues first few games. But he's like an awesome guy. All the draft interviews and stuff, I was like, yeah, this guy's cool. That's my full analysis.
I think that's fair. I mean, there's not much more to analyze about a player on a team as bad as the Detroit Pistons.
It's true. Okay, but before we wrap, do we want to talk about Kyrie? Is there anything to say about Kyrie?
Oh, I don't know what we could possibly add.
Yeah.
Kyrie said so much already.
A voice for the voiceless. I'll continue to be voiceless about it.
I think the really the only last interesting Kyrie Irving discussion, I think, was Iguodala saying that Kyrie Irving was a top 20 NBA player of all time.
Yeah.
When they released the top 75 list. And I thought, honestly, there was some interesting discussion around that. Chris Towers from CBS was talking about how it's like if you look, it all depends on how you're thinking of like what constitutes like a great player or what's good. You know, if you're thinking about like going out there and getting buckets and like dissecting your man one-on-one, like Kyrie Irving is probably one of the best 20 players of all time at playing basketball.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So it's fascinating. But to me, I thought that was a good point because it opened my mind a little bit to think about, okay, yeah, like how are we thinking about pooping and stuff like that? But man, to me, it just reeked of this guy busted my ass, so I'm going to say he's one of the best ever.
Yeah.
Like, everybody does say Kyrie's good because everybody's on tape with Kyrie putting them on skates.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
Yeah, it's top 75 was cool. Like, I think for the most part, it's pretty accurate.
Yeah, like the ones that seemed wrong, everybody's kind of covered. Like Dwight Howard should have been in there, but I'm also not gonna like lose sleep over it.
Yeah, I see the argument that he should be on there, but like, it's whatever. It's not like the strongest, you know. Clay also, like
number 77.
Number Clay missing it, and then the team giving him a number 77 jersey. Because there's 76 players in the top 75 because of a tie.
Because the Morris brothers are one of them.
Yeah.
I do wish some random guy had just gotten really pissed that he wasn't there. Like, I wish we would have gotten like a full like week's worth of outrage from like, I don't know, Joe Ingles that he wasn't included. Except if it's Joe Ingles, everybody would assume it was ironic. It needs to be someone who were like, you could actually believe it.
Oh, so not Jackson Hayes.
No, it would be a good bit if Anthony Edwards just argued that he already deserved to be there. I'd root for that. I love him.
There's probably someone out there saying LaMelo Ball should have been on there.
If he did it, because people will take that seriously.
LaMelo's good. I like him. Anything else you want to do? This was fun. This was good.
I don't know. We'll
still getting used to to the live aspect of it, but
yeah, we'll have guests maybe in the future.
Yeah, we'll get some guests soon. Future.
That'll be good.
Maybe I failed to mention early on that we, for the people, anyone listening, the recording, that we record these live now on Twitch. If there are comments or questions or takes, we will like reserve a segment to go over that as well.
Yeah. Every Wednesday at 9 Eastern, 8 Central ish. We're gonna record this live and it'll go online as a podcast audio form the next day sometime.
It means some changes. It means no more nude pod for Will or any of us.
Which you can tell has actively harmed my potting ability. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, everyone. I did not bring it, but I had to wear some vestige of clothing.
I guess before we go, what are our where's this year gonna go? Who's falling and who's falling down the rankings? Who's gonna climb? And is Rudy Gobert not getting any awards again this year?
Will he cry?
Will he cry?
I think the Nets are going to miss Kyrie Irving a lot.
Yeah.
More than they might seem. I think they'll be fine most of the regular season. But Durant and Harden are obviously very good, and they could probably win a championship on their own. But... Mm-hmm. Even after the news of like Kyrie's not playing for this team until, you know, further notice,
yeah,
a lot of analysts were still picking the Nets to like run away with the title,
yeah,
which I was a little surprised by based on the depth they have, which is less than last year, I think.
They do have
and yes, they were very close to beating the Bucks and probably would have run the table had they beaten the Bucks. But I don't think it's a given. I think the Bucks are still a real threat. I think just in the East, there's like five or six teams that could get to the finals. And then in the West, there's the Warriors. I mean, the Lakers could hold up. There's the Jazz are good again. Like, there's a lot of teams that could really... The Suns are still good. They're getting written off the same way the Bucks are, probably even more than the Bucks. And they're the same team as last year.
Yeah, so, with a better record than the Bucks right now.
Yeah. So I guess my overall point with all of this is I think the Suns and the Bucks are both basically being disregarded to get to the finals again. And most analysts and Twitter people and everybody is kind of thinking last year was a fluke for both teams. And I don't think that's totally true. But I'm a little biased.
Yeah, I don't think that's a fluke for either team. I mean, like, yeah, the Suns won against some injuries and stuff, but like at this point it happens all the time. That's just like playoffs are survival. It's not like always just like, you know, shooting better and all that.
It's not like it's looking like the injuries are, you know, the injuries kept the Lakers out and now they're storming back to the title this year. They still look like garbage.
Here's my predictions. Lakers they're gonna struggle most of the season. They will have like a good streak or two, but like they're gonna struggle. And also, I don't think they're gonna make a trade because you don't make that spectacular of a trade for like a start like that and be like, hey, actually, never mind. Like before the trade deadline,
halfway through the season.
Like, yeah, because like they look bad. They would look bad for that, and they might look slightly better for just trying to make it work. Joe had someone mentioned someone had a hot take of the Timberwolves making playoffs.
Yeah,
they're 3-6 right now, and I'm in.
Fellow NBA aficionados. Is a Timberwolves fan, and he said
they'll be at least 500 and they'll make the playoffs. That was his prediction before the season.
I'm in.
I think it was like day one of the season. That was what he thought. I don't know enough about the Timberwolves to agree or disagree, but I will continue to think they are not that good of a team until I'm convinced otherwise, I guess.
A few things to consider. Anthony Edwards is actually good.
Mm-hmm.
Carl Anthony Towns is actually playing now. And said that he gets fired up before games by watching videos of two girls fighting to the death.
Yeah, that's all I
need. Which is like, man, has he's changed a bit. I would say he's changed a little bit. I always pictured Kat as just a fun-loving guy. Granted, he's had an incredibly tragic last 2 years. But I think watching two girls fighting to the death before your games is weird.
Didn't Bobby Portis say he pictures his opponent like slapping his mom before a game?
Yeah, that's how he gets fired up. That too.
That's on brand for Bobby for sure.
Yeah.
But not for Kat.
Yeah. But I think Kat is going to have like a really good year. And maybe D'Lo will be decent this year and not hurt also. And, you know, maybe Malik Beasley will stay out of the news. Because that was a whole thing. I think they'll make playoffs. They'll make play-in at least.
Okay.
And then, shoot. What are the standings? I had one more prediction and I forgot. Yeah, the Rockets are still gonna suck. Pelicans are still gonna suck. Celtics, I don't know. Oh, yeah, no, the Hawks are gonna pick it up. Hawks are 4-8 right now. They're gonna make the playoffs.
Yeah.
You can't do what you did in playoffs last year and then make no changes and then lose this year.
They did go on a crazy run last year after they changed coaches, but they still have that coach. So, yeah, they've had a tough
schedule. But maybe that's the secret. Maybe it doesn't matter who's coaching them.
They just got to change coaches mid-season every year.
Just like the Pelicans. Just like the Pelicans. And we can see it's working for the Pelicans pretty well.
Who should the Hawks hire mid-season if that's the secret? Who's on the market?
Available.
No, you just go
there. What's his name? Is Joe Prunty available?
He's got to be.
All right.
I think he's an assistant for. I think he was an assistant for the Suns under Monty Williams, if I remember right.
Oh.
But I could be wrong on that.
I didn't know that.
And I don't have. Maybe
he's working with Jason Kidd in Dallas. I'm not sure.
Don't have too many bold ones, but I'll go with before the start of next season, Dame is no longer in Portland. And combo with that, I think the biggest person getting upset about awards this year won't be Gobert. It'll be Dame again. I think he'll, because they've been stinky, so I think he'll get snubbed and be very upset. Give me the Grizzlies as a top six seed in the West. I don't think that's that controversial anymore. That's going to come with
Ja
being an all-star. I don't think either of those is too controversial. I'm ready to, honestly, I'm riding the wave. Giannis is my preseason MVP pick, and I think I'm about ready to switch that to Steph, but I think they're both finalists.
Yeah, they're both finalists. Yeah.
And I don't know. The last thing, this isn't really a prediction, but this just strikes me as a total make or break year for this iteration of the Utah Jazz. Last year, the way they dipped out was pretty bad with losing to the Paul George Clippers. The West is as wide open as it's going to get. The Warriors look awesome. A couple other teams look good, but if they can't do it this year, they can't do it.
Yeah.
I feel like it's Warriors and Jazz at the top of the West.
I think Portland, Dame's out of Portland before the beginning of next year, and I think Jazz either go to the finals or have to semi-blow it up.
Yeah, I think they're going to. The Jazz are going to try and do that, like, the not full rebuild, like the contending rebuild type of thing.
Yeah, because they're not going to get rid of Donovan, but they're going to have to change what, and they shouldn't, but they're going to have to change what to do. And then I'll stick with, I'll say Bulls get home court in the East. Top four seed for the Bulls.
Oh, my other prediction, Nuggets are going to be a top four.
Okay.
Which is not that crazy because they're five right now, but also like Clippers, Lakers, Grizzlies are all below them.
But like, I'm hoping Jamal for Reese a.
He's going to come back.
I'm looking and hoping for a 4-5 Bulls Knicks in the first round. I think that would be a blast. And I thought the Knicks were mostly a fluke last year, but they look pretty for real.
They look good this year.
Yeah, so power to them.
Okay, last thing. Who's your MIP?
I think Ben Simmons gets traded by Christmas.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll even say Thanksgiving. He's out of there in the next like 2 or 3 weeks.
We'll be able to check in on that pretty soon.
Yeah.
I think it's going to take like this team, some teams starting slow, which is happening, and feeling a need to like shake it up. And I feel like that's going to be decision time in a couple weeks for like the Celtics or some other team that is below where they want to be and wants to shake it up.
So that'll be like, Celtics or Raptors or something.
Pacers going to come back in and say, okay, we'll give you 3 picks this time. Please God help us.
Okay. Who's your MIP and who's your defensive?
Everybody hates a second year MIP, but I'm gonna ride with my guy Cole Anthony down in Orlando. They stink, but he's been playing amazing.
He's been good. He's
so been good. Super homer pick, love him to death, but I'll ride with him. Defensive player of the year. It brings me no joy to say this, but I think it's going to be Gobert again.
I think Man, we really hate Gobert. We don't like Gobert here.
No, sucks.
if Grayson Allen keeps shooting as well as he is, he's kind of a dark horse MIP candidate. which again brings me no joy to say that, but he's been on fire so far this year. And then defensive player, Gobert is a good choice. Giannis is always a contender for it because he gets steals, blocks, and does everything. I mean, if Giannis is winning the MVP, it's hard to deny him the Defensive Player of the Year award too. Like, but I get that they don't necessarily want to give both out. But I'll say Giannis.
Okay, I'm going. I mean, I think Jordan Poole has like a legitimate chance for most improved. And then I think Cole Anthony will be in the conversation. And then Miles Turner, I think, has a decent defensive player of the year chance. If he can, at this pace, he's averaging almost 3 blocks a game.
Yeah.
So
I think Bam will be in it for defensive as well, because I think the Heat defense will be nasty all year. I'm just a little worried about him winning the big award just because it's going to be a team effort, I think. And I'll throw in a high caliber, less homer pick for most improved on Zach LaVine. I think he was already very good last year, but the team's going to be good this year, so he's got a shot at that.
Yeah. Also, like, Alex Caruso.
Yeah.
it's only because more people are like going to see him like being a core part of the team.
He's like, More opportunities too. I mean, you saw his highlights on the Lakers, but he wasn't like a main kind of guy, really.
Yeah,
I don't think. But he's like the sixth man for the Bulls, basically, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's a strong role.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's wrap because we went. I mean, it's our first like episode back, so we can go a little longer than usual. What we expect, but. I'm changing up the thinker. I don't have a thinker tweet this time, but I do have something that stood out to me this week or last week. Watching Lakers Trailblazers on NBA TV, Anthony Davis left early in the game, and the NBA TV halftime broadcast straight up said that Anthony was out because his tum-tum hurts. That's the thing that happened. Yeah, whomst among us. We'll be back next week, live Wednesday, 6 Pacific, 9 Eastern, 8 Central. And as usual, our recordings will be uploaded a day later onto your favorite podcast platform, or, you know, common ones. If your favorite one is not something we can upload to, that's weird. Okay, thank you. Any last words?
Apparently Kelly Oubre scored 37 points tonight.
I don't like that at all.
That's all I got.
Okay, Joe.
We love you.
Okay, that's true. All right, thanks everyone. We do love you. See you soon.
Thank you very much.